And now for something completely different.
Is what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, our devotional diamond of the day. How should we handle what's around the corner? And then we ask the professor, is it okay to reward ourselves if we start to develop better debt and saving habits? Do we get a little bit of a reward? And then how does that look? And finally, today, yep, we're going to do it. We're going to review the Bible and our current presidential candidates.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Although I think you could put all three of those together in one 30-minute show. Sit down and have a good laugh. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on the KPRZ 1210 AM radio station here in San Diego. Going to take a short break, and then we're coming back. But stand by for SRN News. I can do.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. All eyes on the state of New York tonight as both Democrats and Republicans have primaries. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are expected to be the big winners, but voters were explaining how they cast their ballots to reporters today. James Dirzamala says he's looking for a president who can get the country back on track, and that's why he voted for Ted Cruz.
We need a strong conservative voice, especially with our country is just going off the beaten path. We need somebody to turn things around, and I think Ted Cruz is the guy to do that.
While Democratic voter Isaiah Francis says he looked at both Hillary Clinton's and Bernie Sanders' agendas and decided on Clinton.
I vote for Hillary because I think she have a realistic agenda. Voting for Bernie Sanders, and if the Congress remains the same as Republican, it's going to be very difficult for him to get these things done.
President Obama is heading to Saudi Arabia at this hour in an attempt to mend fences with the Saudi royalty, particularly after the Iranian nuclear deal. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest says the president's top goal is cementing close security ties with the Saudis.
It is a relationship that is characterized by extensive counterterrorism cooperation. That cooperation enhances our national security. It makes the American people safer.
Mr. Obama's recent comments to the Atlantic magazine, in which he said Saudi Arabia and its nemesis Iran need to share the neighborhood rather than expect the United States to use its military power to settle scores on behalf of its Gulf allies, is a source of unhappiness with the heads of Saudi Arabia. The White House is condemning today's Taliban attack in Kabul and urging the insurgent group to choose the pathway of peace. Militants today stormed an Afghan government security agency with a suicide car bomb and gunfire, killing 28 people and wounding hundreds, in a sign of the insurgency's continued strength. On Wall Street, the Dow by 49 points, the NASDAQ dropped 20. This is SRN News.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Hey, I'm Chris Brown, host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Did you know that 7 out of 10 Americans are living paycheck to paycheck? This means that your neighbors or friends from church couldn't handle a small financial emergency because they don't have a plan for their money. This is one of the reasons why financial expert and national radio show host Dave Ramsey created Financial Peace University. It's the money plan that's helped more than 4 million people get out of debt and learn to save so that one day they can live and give like no one else. But it wouldn't have been possible without people just like you who choose to help someone by leading a class. And now it's your turn. You can start a Financial Peace University class too. You don't need a fancy degree or a financial title to coordinate a class. All you need is a heart to help. Consider coordinating a Financial Peace University class where you live, and you can go through the class for free. To learn more, visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com.
Listen to Chris Brown's True Stewardship weekdays at 8 p.m. right here on KPRZ.
Beneath all our longings is a deep desire for God.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Kayla Ochoa. Nezahualcóyotl may have had a difficult name to pronounce, but his name is full of significance. It means hungry coyote, and this man's writings show a spiritual hunger. Born in 1402 as a poet and ruler in Mexico before the arrival of the Europeans, he wrote, "Truly the gods which I worship are idols of stone that do not speak nor feel. Some very powerful, hidden, and unknown God is the creator of the entire universe. He is the only one that can console me in my affliction and help me in such anguish as my heart feels. I want him to be my helper and protection." We cannot know if Nezahualcóyotl found the giver of life, but during his reign he built a pyramid to the god who paints things with beauty, and he banned human sacrifices in his city. The writers of Psalm 42 cried out, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Every human being desires the true God, just as the deer pants for streams of water. Today there are many hungry coyotes who know that the idols of fame, money, and relationships can't fill the void in their souls. The living God has revealed himself through Jesus, the only one who gives us meaning and fulfillment. This is good news for those who are hungry for the God who paints things with beauty. Reach for God's Word any time of the day with the new Our Daily Bread mobile app, or receive the print version at home for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California, where Robert Producer is currently working and does not need to be disturbed. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. That's the way to go about that, folks. I want to let you know this segment brought to you by our good friend Chris George and his crew at Subaru El Cajon. Now, here's Subaru's emotional statement, their connective statement, their mission statement. Subaru. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Now, you have to like that just because it's cool, but it is a slogan. Here's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Their service department and the quality of their cars and the quality of their people. That's what makes it a Subaru. Now, how do I know a Subaru is a fantastic car? I've owned three. So I know. You can't, I mean, I've owned, by the way, I know people are like, you've owned this. Ask my wife. She will go. She'll testify for the court of law. I've owned somewhere between 17 and 18 cars. I can't remember if one of them was just a loaner or I bought it. I was trying to think about it. I think I bought one off a person that you had to push the inside button on the steering wheel in order for the car to start. I just can't remember if I actually owned it or borrowed it. But anyhow, the reality is that cars today are fantastic, but a lot of the purchase depends on the people. And if you're dealing with somebody you can count on, that's all that you need. When I bought my car, I did not buy a Subaru. I had a problem with my car. I took it in to Subaru El Cajon and Mazda El Cajon, and they took care of it. They were fantastic. You don't have to have just that car to get that type of great service. What you have to have is great people. And that's what Subaru El Cajon does. They have great people, starting at the top with Chris George. I'm going to encourage you to go to SubaruElCajon.com. If you're going to buy one, you should know two things. One, the resale value is higher than any other car on the market. And two, every time they order them, about 98% of them are sold before they come on the lot. It's like, what? That's pretty impressive. 800-418-4444. Like that. 800-418-4444. SubaruElCajon.com. Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I'd like to have been in the room for that one when they did that marketing campaign. I love those kind of things. I want to know how they come up with some of those things. Because some of them are really good, and some of them are kind of like, meh. You're like, meh. I don't know. Keep in mind two things. Crazy Price Mall, 50 to 90% off retail. Why not? I mean, that's the real crazypricemall.com. Why not? Just that simple. And then half price tuitions are pretty straightforward. It's half price. I'm working with a couple of different schools. I think we have six schools up there, five schools that I'm working with. Five we're getting ready to put on. If you're looking at putting your child, your grandchild, your nephew, your niece, some relative into a quality Christian education, you want to check out the half price tuition link that's either on crazypricemall.com or KPRZ. I'd encourage that. Okay. Okay, dokie. Let's get into our devotional diamond of the day. We're going to get into that right now. You ready for our DDD, brother? Was that somebody who wanted a pizza? I'm just checking.
No, it was actually Marty. Actually, program note, Marty is stuck in horrible traffic about this time. So kind of a live report for the Spoon Experience. Not going to be able to make the show today.
Oh, well, God bless him for calling. Isn't that? I mean, that's nice.
Marty's a courteous kind dude.
He is. And he's the only guy that understands why, you know, if you understand, you know, a Bengali and a bagel and a schnitzel and you understand the whole combo and why it's important, you understand what's going on there. I mean, if I say pastrami to Marty, for him and I, it's a secret language. I'm just saying.
Thanks for making me hungry, Dave.
No problem. Let's get into our DDD, how to handle around the corner. You ever notice as you're going through your Christian walk that things are coming round the corner? Have you ever seen that? Okay. I think that identifies every single person that can hear me. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Here's how you handle around the corner. Around the corner. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Three things. You think, what do you tell me? There's three formulas to this? Yes. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope. You know what hope is? I love this definition of hope. It is one of my favorites. You can use it anytime. You can steal it, borrow it. You can, I don't think you can get equity against it, but you can do whatever you want with it. Hope is a better tomorrow. Did you have a rough today? I was talking to Laura, who's one of the newer people. As soon as you come into the studio or the station, you get a chance to meet Laura. And she had a rough yesterday. She's having a better today. She'll have even a better tomorrow. That's hope. A better tomorrow. It's getting better. Here it comes. The word better and tomorrow in some combination. But in going through that process, there's something you need. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. While you're going through tribulation, and some people think of tribulation, and they I think that a lot of people do this. They think of tribulation as the seven-year tribulation, or they think of tribulation, depending on your eschatological sling, as 3.5 years, or maybe just a, you know, one really bad year, or 6 months of bad this, or whatever the case may be. That is not the word that they're going for here in when they're talking about tribulation. It's not talking about the great tribulation. It says be patient in tribulation. In trials, some trials are spiritual in nature. Some trials are just somebody doesn't know how to drive and they're in front of you. I mean, there's trials everywhere. There's tribulation everywhere. So what we're supposed to do is rejoice in hope, but be patient in the tribulation. So there's this anticipation for things to get better, but until they get better, there's a patience that's required. Now, again, and many of us have said this to one another, I'll never forget the first time I heard this joke, that patience is terrific if you're a doctor, but as a Christian, it's kind of tough. That may be the case. And I've heard people say ad nauseum, oh, don't pray for patience because the Lord will give it to you, which is such a weird thing to say since you want to be filled and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is patience. Of course you want patience. You need to pray for patience and perseverance and every other fruit of the Spirit that's involved in there, including joy. But the other element I'm trying to say is in the midst of you having a hope for a better tomorrow, you need to be patient in the middle of your tribulation. You need to be consistent and you need to stay firm and you need to wait. There's no jumping ship in Christianity. Where are you going to jump to? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You're going to become a Muslim? No. What are you going to do? You're going to become a Buddhist? No. So then, therefore, you have one requirement, to be responsive to the Lord. Okay. So you've got rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, and then it says constant in prayer. That's the little thing right there that we miss. What? I don't want to have to pray. Yes, but that connection that you have with the Lord is what enables you to have patience in your tribulation and walk in hope for a better tomorrow. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no valley low. Ain't no river.
From the San Diego studios of KPRZ 1210 AM KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you an important message about KPRZ 1210 AM's official contest rules and
Wait a minute, we're interrupting their broadcast for rules on winning stuff?
Just read what's on the paper.
You must be at least 21 years young to enter, and if your original prize isn't available, we'll give you something of equal or greater value.
Sorry, one entry per household. You can only win once every 60 days.
And we're not responsible for any lost prizes that get lost in the mail if we send them out to you.
And prizes may not be substituted or redeemed for cash or made available for resale.
You got 60 days to claim your prize at our main studios. We're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You know the complete rules are available online 24/7 and free.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just visit am1170theanswer.com and click on the About Us tab.
Cue the fast-talking guy.
Employees of KPRZ and its affiliated advertising agencies, licensees, participating sponsors, promotional sponsors, and other radio stations in the San Diego metropolitan area and members of their immediate families are ineligible to participate and win.
Maranatha Christian Schools, one of San Diego's premier private schools, is growing, and we want to invite you to be a part of it. Come tour our campus on Fridays, no appointments necessary. Our friendly admission staff will be ready to show you our beautiful campus as they tell you about our excellent academics, sports, and arts programs. Plus, you'll learn how we integrate the biblical worldview into our curriculum. As you visit, you'll be able to see inside our classrooms and have a chance to experience our school's environment. Many have said, I truly feel like I'm standing on holy ground. This is where I want my children to go to school. We are serious about what we do, and we have worked hard to provide an environment that fosters creativity, excellence, and community involvement. We're ready for you and your students. Check us out online at maranathachristianschools.org. That's maranathachristianschools.org, or call 858-759-9737. That's 858-759-9737.
The
This is Arthur Brooks of the American Enterprise Institute for townhall.com. My Democrat friends are quick to tell me that Donald Trump's popularity is fueled by racism and nationalism of Republicans. I can imagine some of you've heard it too. I don't think that's the right explanation. I'm certainly not going to claim there's no racism, but a better explanation for Trump's rise is the simple fact that our economy has created effectively 0% economic growth for the bottom four-fifths of the population since the Great Recession. History tells us that these lackluster recoveries are fairly predictable after financial crises, and the average citizen's living standards can take a decade or longer to recover. The result is almost always an uptick in political populism, either right-wing, raise the drawbridge, or left-wing, off with their heads, or both. Now, these forces aren't necessarily overwhelming. Trump and Sanders are getting roughly equal portions of their party's total primary votes, and neither's getting a majority. But it certainly does torque the political system for a while. I'm Arthur Brooks.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. That's right. That was a Three Stooges theme because Robo Producer and I were discussing the Three Stooges, and we were actually evaluating Curly, Shemp, and then Curly Joe. Now, I know what you people are thinking. You do a Christian radio talk show, and you talk theology, you talk soteriology. I just talked a little bit of eschatology, and I talked about persevering, and then we get together, and then we open up our Bibles and open up our commentaries and read the Greek in between the two segments, or we talk about which stooge was really just the worst out of those three, Curly, Shemp, or
Curly Joe.
Curly Joe. I can't even say his name.
That's how bad he is.
He is that bad. I mean, it's not offense to the person. I just didn't like the character. Curly was a... I mean, that's different. That's funny. All right, this segment brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasool. And here's... I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'm not going to do the whole... Here it is. ThinkSam.com. 858-780-1SAM. If you're interested in selling your house and having some of that commission, 25% of that commission, by the way, and if you recognize what commission is on a house, on a $500,000-$700,000 house, I think you get what's going on here. 25% of that goes to whatever ministry, church, or charity you want. And if you're selling your house and you need help fixing it up, then he'll forward up to $25,000 on your house, take out the money at the close of escrow, won't charge any interest, and enable you to sell the house faster. It's all about Sam's service, his knowledge, his commitment, his heart, and his willingness to do what it takes to make the deal happen, and his willingness to understand that not every deal is the same. It's not a cookie-cutter situation. He's not selling out a neighborhood. He's selling four individuals and two individuals, buying four individuals. You know, it's like it's that process where he's very personalized in his work. ThinkSam.com, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM. As you heard in the earlier segment, our number one guest, by the way, I think Marty has been on more than any other person on this show that I am aware of. And he is not able to make it. He is at the doctor. He is okay, but he's got to have some checkup. He's got to get some stuff done. We wish him well. I will encourage you, because he is my friend, because he is... He's really made an impact in my life, to be honest, in my wife and my life, because of how he taught us about debt and that approach. I will encourage you to call him if you've got some issues, you're trying to figure out some retirement elements, 1-800-727-PLAN, 1-800-727-7526. He's got two websites because one website cannot contain Marty. So he has two websites. The first one is theretirementprofessor.com. And the second one is ProfessorSocialSecurity.com. Marty Schneider is a fantastic brother in the Lord. And he's been a part of KPRZ Radio for forever. I mean, for years and years and years. A legend. He truly is one of those people in the community that makes an impact and difference. If you have questions, if you have issues, go talk to Marty. He'll tell you what's going on. That's a guy that you can have a lot of confidence in. All right. So because Marty is not going to be with us, then I'm going to take this opportunity to challenge a few notions, because I enjoy doing that from a scriptural point of view, and do a DDD that was not on the DDD list. This is not going to be one of the more popular DDDs. For those that are going, what's a DDD, Dave? Devotional Diamond of the Day, when I'm reading scripture and something jumps off the page, and as our newest associate here at the station says, it becomes bold in your eyes and in your mind. When that happens when you're reading, then I jot down a note and I bring it into work and I take a few moments when I can get them and I do my best to coordinate something that it might be a blessing for some people. This one has a very unique title, though. It's not intended to offend, but it shall probably do so, as it's amazing to see how many people get offended by so many things. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing to see that. The title of this devotional diamond of the day is called Let's Not Be Dumb. How's that? Is that pretty forward? Let's not be dumb. You can't say that on Christian radio. Let's not be dumb. I can say that as many times as I want to. Dumb, 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 dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. We even have a soundtrack that does that. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. I didn't write this, folks. I'm just reading a book that's at this point probably, I think this is right at the 2800 to 2900 years ago, maybe closer to 3,000. Could be a debate on that. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but the one who hates correction is stupid. Yeah, I didn't write it. It's not my version. It's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I put a lot of money in this translation. Don't get mad at me. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. You know, if it says ignorant in a different translation, I'm pretty sure you can know where they're going with it, right? I mean, you have to be a genius to figure this out. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but the one who hates correction is stupid. That's what it says. First of all, loves instruction. That's people that love to be taught. So here's what's important about that element. You know how we all think we're smart? We're not. How's that? You know how y'all think, I get it. I've read the Bible probably a lot more than most people that I encounter. Yeah, I'm not that smart. I've met with what we would call probably the brightest theological minds, the deepest theological minds in our generation. I've had that privilege to meet with many of them. Guess what? The deepest ones would tell you, we're not that smart. Here's why we're not that smart. Number one, sin. So you'll never be that smart, because if you have sin in your life, it de-evolutionizes you, because it brings you on a pathway to death. Yeah, it's unmistakable. You can't change that. Number two, the fact of the matter is that nobody, watch this, statement. Nobody is an actual know-it-all except for Jesus. He's the only one that knows it all. So because he's the know-it-all, he's the only one that can really evaluate and tell you true, not true, right, not right. After all, he's able to discern into the hearts of men, and that's something that we don't do. Mind reading, not at the top of all of our lists. So we're not that smart. But people that love to be taught, love to be instructed, love to be guided. You know, if you are the best mechanic in the entire planet, you want to know even more about cars. If you're the smartest person on the planet about William Shakespeare, you want to know even more about William Shakespeare. If you're the most devotional Christian that's ever walked the planet, you want to be even more devotional. You never get there and go, ta-da, I've arrived. There is no arriving. I think that's made pretty clear when the Apostle Paul, in his own writing, acknowledges his desire to be more like Jesus. If the Apostle Paul needs to be more like Jesus, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, so do we. That's like, okay. So the only real know-it-all in a good context is Jesus. No one is actually a know-it-all. And there's plenty for all of us to grow in. So there's never this, I'm done, I don't have to get better. And I want to say this statement. This is going to be a little bit awkward, but I want to say it forcefully. The Apostle Paul acknowledged his writings that he wanted to be more like Jesus. So if you're not better than the Apostle Paul, you still have a long way to go. And even longer, just to touch the hem of Christ, even if you already think you're Mother Teresa, you have a long way to go. Get it? So the Bible says, wowzer bowser, love instruction, that's knowledge. Hating correction, that's stupid. To quote a movie, stupid is as stupid does. And then you people, that's name calling. Well, it's not name calling. That's Proverbs chapter 1, or Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 in the Bible. And what it's saying is that if we're operating in a place where we're so smart that we don't need any correction, we never need to be taught, we know everything there is to know, there's nothing to learn. There's nothing to learn. If we're saying there's nothing to learn, we're not that smart. The smartest people are what? The people that continually learn, right? Continually grow. You know, I the guy's name escapes me. Forgive me, and I've talked about it before, but the gentleman that taught Japan how to use karate was an eighth-degree black belt, and when he was dying, you know what he asked? He asked to be buried in a white belt. And they said, why? You're the master. You brought karate to the island. You taught everybody how to do it. He said, I know nothing. That's more wisdom in that small little portion than many of us find in a lifetime. We should love instruction, and when somebody is correcting or teaching or guiding or helping us, we should love it. I went to church on Saturday night, and I heard something I'd not heard, and I've heard a lot in 38 years. I loved it. I'm going to borrow it. It's so good, the teaching on it. We should all be like that. Love instruction. Love instruction. Never hate being corrected, taught, being guided. Never hate that. Be humble of spirit always. That way we can be smarter than your average bear. Okay? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break and we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
We all need help thinking more clearly. You, me, U.S. Senators like Barbara Boxer. And denying it sometimes proves the opposite. I'll explain today on Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
A hearing that was held last week of the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works consisted of Senator Barbara Boxer of California, Alex Epstein, the president for the Center for Industrial Progress, and Father Robert Sirico, a priest and president of the Acton Institute, among others. The topic was how the president's climate policies had impacted economic opportunity, national security, and related issues. As Mr. Epstein finished his testimony by telling a story from his book, A Moral Case for Fossil Fuels, Senator Boxer demanded, Mr. Epstein, are you a scientist? No, he replied, I'm a philosopher. When Boxer sarcastically implied that he didn't belong in the hearing because he wasn't a scientist, Epstein pointed out that philosophy helps folks think more clearly. Boxer snapped back, I don't need help thinking more clearly. Well, with all due respect to the good senator from California, the entire exchange demonstrated she does need help thinking more clearly, since hers was a classic example of a self-defeating set of statements. First, if philosophers do not belong in such a hearing because they are not scientists, do politicians belong who are not scientists? Second, the idea that science trumps philosophy is incoherent since it is a philosophical statement. One could never prove empirically that science trumps philosophy. This is not an observable, repeatable truth about the universe concluded via scientific investigation. Her statement proposed a view of knowledge, or an epistemological assertion, to use the 50 cent word. In other words, her statement that science trumps philosophy was a statement of philosophy. It only became more strange when Senator Boxer then turned her guns on Father Robert Sirico and challenged how he, as a Catholic priest, could disagree with Pope Francis, who tweeted once that inequality is the root of all evil. She then suggested that because the Acton Institute receives donations from corporations and philanthropists, Father Sirico couldn't be trusted to testify. Now, we won't even deal with the misunderstanding the senator had about papal proclamations, because the logical fallacies here just continue to stack up. Red herrings, poisoning the well, ad hominem, etc., etc. First, the Pope's tweet to which Senator Boxer appeals was not a scientific statement, but, you guessed it, a philosophical one. Second, the good senator did not finance her own campaigns. If Father Sirico is disqualified because the Acton Institute receives donations from folks committed to certain political and moral ideas, she would be too, since she receives donations from folks committed to political and moral ideas. Now, I can't help but think here of Professor Diggory from the Chronicles of Narnia muttering under his breath, "Logic! Why don't they teach logic at these schools?" Beyond that, however, is something else worth remembering from C.S. Lewis. In his book, The Abolition of Man, Lewis warned of the triumph of science over everything, especially over areas of philosophy and morality. The triumph of science, he warned, is really the mastery of scientists over nature, and the last thing conquered would be humanity itself. In other words, the triumph of science would be the mastery of some men, certain elites committed to our worldview, over other men. Now, if you've never read The Abolition of Man, it's one of those rare books that's never been more true than it is right now. I urge you to pick it up and read it, and we have it for you at our breakpoint.org online bookstore. And may God keep us from the sort of arrogance that would dare suggest that we need no help in thinking more clearly. We all do, don't we? For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We invite you to get a free downloadable excerpt from Restoring All Things, the book by John Stone Street and Warren Cole Smith. Just go to breakpoint.org/free.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. I'm just whistling on Christian radio, because that's what I can do. Weather looks pretty nice. Traffic, not too bad, except where we are. They're doing that construction thingy, which makes getting out almost impossible. So that's a fun experience if you like getting poked in the eye and stuff like that. I will tell you, this segment's brought to you by Excalibur Roofing and our very good friends Eric and Ingrid Holloway at Excalibur Roofing. If you need any roof work at all, new roof construction, old roof replacements, repairs, HOAs, apartment complexes, residential, commercial, anything at all, you want to talk to Excalibur Roofing. If you're looking at any roofing project, if you're thinking, I'm thinking about a roofing project probably about next year, give Eric and Ingrid a call. Talk to them. Get the thing set up. Let them take care of you. ExcaliburRoofing.com is their website. 760-743-8803. 760-743-8803. I've had people come up to me. I've mentioned it before. And they pull out their phones. And they go, here's the before, and here's the after from Excalibur Roofing. Now, I will tell you, it's hard for me to appreciate it the way the people appreciate it because it's their house. But they're excited about it. I mean, they want me to know. Look, Dave, look. It's like, okay, gotcha. ExcaliburRoofing.com, as solid as can be. And we're blessed to have them as one of our sponsors. All right, so we're going to get into the Bible and politicians. Are going to take a couple segments, but I do want to respond to my very own Robo producer who was telling me about a delicatessen that is in the northern part compared to San Diego. I consider it north. Anything that's not San Diego in California?
In Southern California, but it's north Southern California.
It's north Southern California compared to San Diego, but it's actually an LA-ish kind of area, yeah. Right? So it's called The Hat.
The Hat.
All right.
Little family-owned
deli,
delicatessen.
Right?
Some of the best pastrami I have ever had.
All right,
life.
So let me tell you where the hat comes from. Now, this in this particular family it might not be true, but I'll tell you the story about the hat.
Let's hear it.
All right, so the grandmother takes the grandchild out to the beach. And the grandmother has a grandchild, and she's sitting at the beach with the grandchild, and all of a sudden this wave comes, and it comes whipping in, grabs the grandchild, and then sucks the grandchild out into the water. The grandmother is horrified, and she calls out to God, 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 how can you do this? You can't do this to me. I'm watching my boobala. You can't do this. You've got to bring him back. You've got to bring him back. I ask you right now. All of a sudden, the wave swirls up really high, snaps back, and throws the child right under the sand, and the child, bup, right up to the grandma's feet. And she looks at the child, and she looks at the water, and she looks at the sky, and she says to God, he had a hat. Get it? He had a hat. I can't. If you don't get that joke, I can't help you.
The sad thing is I do get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, that'd have been my mom in a heartbeat. All right, I'm not going to take a tremendous amount of time because I don't need to. It might spill over into the next segment. I don't know. The Bible and politicians. So here's the thing that I'm not losing it on. I'm going to talk in about 2 days of why we need to vote, because scripturally, Matt, in Acts chapter 6, it's quite clear in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, that the people had to select somebody to be guiding and leading them in a particular process in the church. So voting is not an issue for me in regards to Christians. What's an issue to me is everybody getting so caught up that they get so mad that they can't talk to people, that they can't function, they carry this anger with them wherever they go. So I just want to kind of nail down the differential in two significant points. One, I want to talk about the Bible and politicians that we have running. Right now we have Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Mr. Kasich, John Kasich, who is running for office. Here's the thing we know about Donald Trump. A Bible guy, not a chance. I mean, the guy can't quote a verse to save his life. Is he a Bible guy? No.
2 Corinthians.
You know, well, even that's the least of them. That's what's the problem. Is he a believer? Not my call to say, because I cannot determine that, but he's not a Bible guy. That's all I'm saying. Bible guy. Ted Cruz, total Bible guy. I think he is a Bible guy. Total misassociation, I think, with Glenn Beck, who's crucifying every Christian who doesn't think that Ted Cruz is the Messiah. And it's just absurd. And I think that Ted Cruz ought to say, you know, step down, Glennie, pull it back. So and he knows he's one of his surrogates. That's kind of what bugs me. It bothers me. Hillary Clinton, I've watched this faith. I mean, look at, she does have a marriage that has been bizarre, but existent for a lot longer than most people. I'll say this. It's the most convenient faith I've ever seen. It always fits the moment, whatever it is. Doesn't matter if it's Southern Baptist faith. Doesn't matter if it's Pentecostal faith. Doesn't matter if it's a Muslim faith. She's just got faith for whatever's going on. She's a very convenienced person of faith. Bernie Sanders is supposed to be Jewish. I'm not sure that many rabbis would take him on. It's like, I'm thinking they're going, no. Because, like, what? He's a wackadoodle. I don't care what you say. John Kasich. I like John Kasich, but he's got that one little problem, and I have a problem with this. And in some of the faiths that have Christ at the center, they have this family before faith mentality. I don't agree with that. I think Scripture's clear. It is faith before family. It is faith before everything. There's just no question in my mind. I mean, Jesus willing to sacrifice his life, forego and move away from his family. Abraham left his family. People are required to do that in the essence and the pureness of faith. So these politicians are not, to me, in any way, shape, or form, any of them, are going to be these spiritual commanders. I'm not seeing that. Even if Ted Cruz got in, who's probably the most biblical of the five, he's not going to be a spiritual commander. He's very much a politician. I'm pretty much sure everybody can see that. And I think anybody that thinks that Glenn Beck is a great guy, you've lost your mind and turned my show off. All right, so here's the other part I want to say. None of these people control the future of the world. I absolutely cannot believe that any Bible-believing, born-again Christian thinks that Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, or John Kasich is going to control the direction of the world. And don't tell me, well, they get to nominate this judge, and they get to do this, and they get to do this. Do you forget that God still rules in the affairs of men? That God is still in charge and lets the waters go so far and no farther? That God still determines what is and is not going to happen? Are you thinking that God's like, oh, I don't know what's going on? For those that are premillennial dispensationalists, don't you know that the rapture has a specific time and a specific moment, and there's nothing that would change that? For those of you that are more post-millennialists, don't you know that the ushering of the kingdom is a God-designed plan? For those that are all millennialists, don't you know that God has arranged the whole dispensation from the first coming to the second coming in the palm of his hand and made that clear in Revelation? It doesn't matter what your eschatology. You absolutely have to believe that God is in control, or something is wrong. God is not this being that deposited Adam and Eve and then went to Pluto and is going to come back in a billion years and see how we're doing. There's no Bible in that at all. I'm not ecstatic about the politicians that we're dealing with. But I'm not stupid enough, and I'm going to use that phrase right there, to think that these five people are going to control the universe. The Earth's not the center of the universe, and scripturally it hasn't been for 2,000 years, if not longer. So I hope that the best person gets in. I hope God has mercy on the nation. I hope the nation is able to extend, but there's not a chance in the universe I'm putting my hope in man. Because what of these five people, which one of them has a heaven to put me in? What? None? Well, then they'll get the appropriate due and no more. Now, should you vote? Yeah, I think scripture is pretty clear. And I'm going to talk about that Thursday. I think that Franklin Graham's right that you should participate. He's trying to say, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I like that part. I'm cool. That's good. But am I thinking that this vote's going to be the end all? Hey, I got a message for you. If tomorrow we wake up and a comet the size of Texas hits the planet, it's over. You'll hear the trumpet blow, however it'll happen, blah, blah, blah. Won't matter. So, it's not so fast. Sparky, slow down. Let's remember who's in charge. And if you're not sure who's in charge, let me help you out. I want you to read Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 3, and Daniel chapter 4. And tell me, when God turned Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man on the planet, into a cow, how God is not in charge. I'd like you to explain it to me as a Bible believer so I can know that you believe the Bible after you read Daniel 4. And then tell me, did Jesus tell us what was going to happen in the end? I guess he told us because he knew, because he knows what's going on. Right? Right? He knows? Right? Okay. Do your best. Don't freak out about it. God is still on the throne, no matter who gets elected. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Chris George, General Manager of Subaru Mazda of El Cajon. Tell us about the Subaru Mazda of El Cajon customer experience.
When you come to the dealership, you know, it's like welcoming somebody into your home. We're going to offer you some coffee or some water. You want the place clean. I want the men to open doors for women. That's how I teach my boys, and that's what I do for my wife. That's our goal, is to develop a relationship with people. You get to know who we are by the people you meet.
Go to Subaru Mazda of El Cajon today and get a free tire rotation, brake inspection, and alignment quick check.
Hey, this is Chris Brown, and I want to tell you about Financial Peace University. Created by my friend and financial expert, Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University has helped 4 million people take control of their money, get out of debt, and save for the future. For a limited time, sign up to coordinate a Financial Peace University class where you live, and you can go through the class for free. For more information, visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com to learn more.
Listen to Chris Brown's True Stewardship weekdays at 8 p.m. right here on KPRZ.
In New York, a laundromat owner recently helped 75 homeless families keep the few clothes they have clean. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. Samuel Vanda Cruz is a former social worker who recently opened Mr. Bubbles Laundromat in Queens, New York. While running his business, he noticed the struggle that homeless families face in meeting their laundry needs. Vanda Cruz said clean clothes and bedding are necessities, almost as important as food and shelter. So as an Easter gift to his community, Vanda Cruz provided free laundry services to 75 families at the Landing Family Homeless Shelter from March 28th through the 31st. Dignity is one of the first things to go when people are faced with the harsh reality of life on the streets. Personal hygiene becomes hard to maintain, and as one's personal appearance deteriorates, so do the chances of finding a job and ending the cycle of homelessness. As part of his efforts, Vanda Cruz made sure that all of the laundry was returned by 7 a.m. every morning so those living at the shelter could be ready to make it to school or go on job interviews with clean clothes. One homeless mom said, "Doing laundry with a three-year-old is always difficult. This means that this week both my daughter and I won't have to go through that, and I'll be able to save this $30 for something else."
Well, here's another way Christians can help each other, by sharing each other's medical expenses. And that's the goal of MediShare. MediShare is Christians helping Christians with their health care costs. And since 1993, more than $1 billion in medical expenses have been shared or discounted. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Making friends everywhere I go. Spreading joy no matter what I say. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Quick reminder about Whitefield's Ministries. We got our big event taking place June 4th. I got Steve coming in. I thought he was coming in this week, but I don't know why. I think I'm just getting older. But he's coming in next week, next Thursday. And on June 4th at Maranatha Christian Schools, we're going to be doing this event called Redemption Stories. And we're going to be having a chance of worship and an opportunity for food. I mean, fantastic food, like really good, like catered food. We're going to talk about the ministry. We're going to talk about some different things that are going on in the community. And then I'm going to get a chance to get up there and share my testimony for the first time live in San Diego, uninterrupted, not printed. Not printed. That's the nicest way I could say it. The not printed version. We encourage you to go to whitefields.org and sign up. Get a chance to go to the dinner. The dinner is going to be limited seating. How about that? It's not unlimited capacity, limited capacity. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to share. And we believe that the Lord's going to do some wonderful things. That's always a good process to go by. Whitefields.org is where I'm going to encourage you to go to. While you're there, check out the ministry. You'll find out why my wife and I support Whitefields, especially when you get into what they do for advancing the gospel and helping people drink clean drinking water instead of using water out of cesspools. Everybody can support that. Whitefields.org. I do want to do a short DDD called Everyday Life Speak. Everyday Life Speak. You haven't heard this one. This is a good one. I've never done this one before. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says this: anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. Anxiety is a weight. You know what anxiety is in a lot of ways? It's not feeling safe, right? Kind of that insecure, not feeling safe element. It's an unsettlement of the heart and the mind. Your heart and your mind are not settled, so you don't feel comfortable. You don't feel like, you know that expression in The Matrix where she gives him the cookie and you'll eat this cookie and then you'll feel right as rain, right? Well, when you have anxiety, that's the last thing you feel. Nothing is right. Nothing seems like it's in place. Everything seems off center. That's a hard place to be. That's why we're supposed to cast our care, or cast our anxiety unto the Lord. We're not supposed to carry that anxiety and hold it in an idle fashion, which way too many people do. And we're supposed to give it to the Lord and let it go as much as possible. But here's a fascinating element to this. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers it up. Now, this admonition is not for the person who has the anxiety, but for the person who's next to the person who has anxiety. And if you know somebody who's going through a hard time or having a difficult time, you need to understand that a good word brings cheer, and we can and should be that vessel of uplifting to other people every day, which is why the title of this is Everyday Life Speak, because you and I can speak life every day. And when you come across somebody and you know they're in anxiety, or they tell you, I'm not doing that great. I'm really struggling. then you can bring a good word. Even if the most simplistic part of that good word is God has got you covered. God loves you. You know what? Robo producer and I talk about politics. He has to go through politics more than I do because he's also the producer for Mark Larson's show, and they do a lot more politics than we do. So he has to engage with that regular basis. So when him and I talk, instead of getting into positions and things of that nature, I pretty much say the same thing. I said, well, the Lord's still in control. The Lord's still in control. There'll still be that statement because that's the only thing that can really break the anxiety. Because otherwise, it's just, oh, it's going to happen. What's going to happen? Who knows? What's around the corner? Don't know, but we already talked about how to handle when you're coming to round the corner. Whereas you hope, you're patient in your tribulation, and you're constant in prayer. The Lord is always an answer to anybody's anxiety. You don't have to say it as a genius, but the Lord is always an answer to everybody's anxiety. That's a good line. You should write that one down. The Lord is always the answer to anyone's anxiety, period. And that's a good word that you and I can bring to others. Now, look, we have anxiety, but I'll tell you something. If you look to be a blessing to somebody else, somebody will bless you. If you refresh others, you yourself will also be refreshed. So if you give it out, it'll come back to you because that's how God operates it. A good word brings cheer. Let's be a vessel of those good words and speak life to people every day. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break. You're going to hear Marty, then SRN News, then we'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk coming up on the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.